We're continuing now in the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 9 and verse 44. We said in the last lesson, and mainly in verse 43, the Lord was saying, if your hand causes you to stumble in sin, it's better to cut it off. So he's using, often some things are not to be taken literally, except for maybe in some extreme case. So for the Christian, this would be whatever your flesh instigates, you are to break its power. Paul said, if you put to death the work of the flesh, by the Spirit you will live. So the old man is never put to death terminally. It's not permanently. His potential is always there. So when we say put to death, we mean to make it powerless. Make it where it has no power. And that's what the Christian is to do to the old man and the nature. When the spirits tempt it and rise it up, we have to deal with this until we leave this world. It's part of the curse that came to mankind. So the old man cannot be reformed. He cannot be improved on. He's in opposition to God. He's influenced by demons. And it's part of the fallen nature. But the Christian is given power not to yield to it. It does not have to rule him unless he gives permission. So he's basically saying, if members of your body, your hand, we think of the hands doing our work, if it causes you to steal, if you don't deal with it, eventually your spirit soul, which implies has hands, has a feet, will be cast into the lake of fire or into hellfire first. So he's saying, you better put it under. You better make sure, at the worst, cut it off if it'll keep you out of hell. So if your eyes, he said, cause you to lust and sin and get greedy and want things of the world in opposition to the Lord, the extreme was pluck it out. He was meaning put it to death. Do not let it reign and do as it pleases. If your feet cause you to stumble, the feet is a symbol of where we walk, what our duties are, what we do in the world. If it causes you to sin and you think you can't handle it, he said, well, it's better to have them cut off than to enter hell with it in your spiritual state. It's going to lead you to eternal damnation if you do not deal with the flesh, the body, when it's being drawing you to evil. So we have the original sin, and part of the curse is still there. And until we are raptured, or till we die in the Lord, the old man is with us. It will not go into the new creation. It's an earthly thing. It's a soulish thing here, and we have to overcome it. So that's what Jesus' word to all the churches was, overcome. If you overcome, and he meant to put to death things that cause you to sin, not to yield to temptation and what the flesh wants. And that's what Jesus said. People often just forget it. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross meant you're headed to the place of death. You're headed to the place to be crucified. It means the old nature, the corrupt nature. But like someone says, we can't crucify ourselves. You'll still have a hand free if you try to do it. The place of death, God will deal with the old man. He will help us by his Spirit to make it nullified and have no power over it. But we have to head in that direction. We have to consent for God to do it in us. He does not overwhelm people and make them. He does not beat them into the kingdom. We have to yield. If the branch does not stay in the vine, it will wither and the Father will cut the branch off. He's talking about a true Christian. They will not bear fruit. They will not continue to bear fruit. To live spiritually and bear fruit, we have to abide in Christ. We need his ability to help us. But he's not going to do it in spite of us. See, it takes the vine and the branch. You have to have the human and the divine side to produce this fruit. And it's always that way. We must continually walk with the Lord. We must exercise our will to yield to the new man, or we yield to the old nature. That is within our power. We find no scripture. Man is told to believe, repent. It means stop your sinning and turn around in a direction, confess the Lord, and he'll take care of the sins. But many people confess their sins, but they don't repent. So they don't have true Christianity. They have lip service. Because confessing Jesus without obeying and following him as Lord is useless. That's why James says the devils believe in God, in Christ. They ain't saved them, has it? They have that mental assent, but it is helping them. So that's why Jesus said to his disciples, why would you call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't obey my commandments? So there are false Christians out there that have religion. They believe in their mind that Jesus died on a cross and raised again, and they believe they're Christians, but they've not been regenerated. They're not following the Lord or listening to his spirit. They're doing as they please and mixing some religion with it. And that's the multitude of the 2 billion professing Christians in the world. We call it Christendom. Most of them have never known the Lord. They're not Christian. And when they stand at judgment, they're going to be shocked. They're going to tell the Lord all the good things they did in his name. But the problem is they did it the way they wanted to. They didn't follow the Lord. They thought they'd serve God on their terms. But mentally, they believe Jesus is God and the Son of God. But Jesus said to them, but I never knew you. You were never born again. You were never regenerated. You never followed me as Lord. He said, you did not do the will of my Father. And he said, you're lawless. And then he rejects them and casts them into outer darkness. He said, because you didn't do the Lord's will, but you gave him lip service and you profess to be a Christian. So that's going to be the majority in this world of people who claim to be Christians. They're not going to make it. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Where with the 5 foolish virgins, they were Christians. That's why they're called virgin. But they slept. They let their lamp go out. They cease following the Holy Spirit and their duty to the Lord. And so when they come knocking at the wrong time, when he's shut the door, that means grace has stopped. There's no more grace at that. And they said, let us in. And it's interesting. He says, I do not know you. He didn't say, I never knew you, because he did. But they walked away, and they did not stay with the Lord, so he doesn't know them anymore. They were branches cut off from the vine. The branches did know him, and they were in Christ. But they did something to stop bearing fruit and stop obeying the Lord, and they started running their own life instead of remembering we're bought with the price and we're not our own. We're the Lord's. Paul even said if you're in his time, 25% of the Christians were slaves. And he told them, you submit to the Lord and his providence, and you're free with him. And then he told the person that was a Christian and not a slave, he said, if you're free, you're the Lord's slave. Well, people don't like that. Christians are slaves to the Lord. He owns them. He demands worship. And to them to follow him and do his will. They're not their own. They cannot do as they please. They don't understand that when God purchased them with his blood, he purchased them for himself. He expects duty and love, and he brings them out of Satan's kingdom, which was once their master, and now he's their master. But if they don't obey and follow him, they are rejected. They're cast aside. So we need to remember that. So in the last lesson, he kept saying, if a part of your body causes you to sin, put it to death. Do whatever it takes because it'll lead you to hell if you don't deal with it. And that's what he's talking about. The spirit soul is who we are. False teachers, a lot of the once saved, always saved, eternal security, they're nothing but a new form of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans, Jesus in Revelation said he hates their teaching and he'll destroy their children. The children are the followers. They taught that your spirit could not sin, and so you could do what you want with the soul and body and enjoy sin, have a license to sin. And he said, I hate that teaching and I'll destroy the followers. Well, it's just been rehashed by the devil. Nothing has changed. He just rehashes these doctrines. The spirit and soul cannot be separated as an identity. As we've said before, a diamond has facets, but you can't take a facet away or it won't be a diamond. So the spirit soul is the personality. The spirit of man deals more with God and worship and conscience. The soul is more connected to the earth, our affections and feelings that make us human. But together, that's who we are. We are a spirit soul. We're a personality. And it will go either to heaven or hell in the end. They're not going to be separated. Some false teachers think, oh, the body and soul will be left and our spirit goes to heaven. You don't find no such teaching there. It's false doctrine. False teachers end up in the lake of fire, okay? So the everlasting state he's talking about is called an unquenchable fire. It's a torment. And wrath is forever. And people don't want to hear it. You hear too many people talk about the love of God and they pervert God's word and who he is. If the majority of mankind and professing Christians is going to end up in the lake of fire, I think we ought to take notice of what the Lord's saying. See, they excuse themselves. They elevate. They don't want to talk about those things because they're false. But 60% of Scripture and New Testament warns where the wicked go and what God's attitude is toward them. And often it lets us know they will not make it into the kingdom of God. So three times, as we're going to read verses 44 to 48, three times he's going to say, their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He says it three different times. In Mark, we see, he mentions six times, weeping and gnashing of teeth and hellfire. So if he mentions it that many times, Paul and the epistles, they don't mention much fire or hell. They talk about the wrath of God. But they were told, and they do when they're teaching, Jesus said, make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe everything I told you. So if ministers are not teaching on hell, fire, and the consequences and God's judgment, they're false shepherds. They're not giving the whole counsel of God. They're not warning people. People don't like that. They think they're secure. They're not. If they don't take heeding and warning, they will fall away. Hebrews says, exhort one another daily, lest you be deceived, the sin deceives you. It causes you to believe lies is what it means. It'll lead you astray. Sin is a powerful influence if we don't yield to the Holy Spirit and let him guide us. So let's read 44 through 48, and then we'll deal with it. Okay. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life, the spiritual realm, heaven, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. So the spirit body of man must have a form, and it must be a similar. It must have a tongue, hands, feet, because when the angels cast the wicked in Revelation, it said they bind them hand and foot. The rich man in hell said, I'm tormented in this flame, and he was excessively thirsty. So whatever the spiritual human body is, even in a fallen state, they will be resurrected, the scripture says, to damnation. Where the Christian will put on immortality and the old nature will be left behind, The person that's not a Christian, they will be resurrected with a spiritual body fit for punishment. They need to understand that. They are everlasting beings. Okay. Verse 46, and where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye, 47, causes you to stumble, throw it out or cast it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to go into hell. And he quotes it again, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Of all the scripture in the New Testament, these words are mentioned three times back to back. You don't find that often. So Jesus must have thought it was very important to tell us. And we forget that he was God, confined to the human body. He had to live the nature, but he was the creator of the lake of fire and hell. Hell is a temporal place, but eventually it's going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be a worse punishment. The demons that Jesus cast out, the 2,000 out of these men, they spoke to the man and said to Jesus, have you come here to torment us before the appointed time? They know what's waiting for them. Originally, hell was made for the fallen angels. Right now, no one's in the lake of fire. That's going to be at the end when everything's cast. Hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire. But the demons that roam the earth, they are miserable beings. They're restless. They're darkness. It says they're in chains of darkness. But that's not their final punishment. And they know what's coming. And they thought maybe Jesus was going to throw them in there early. So that's why the chief demon asked him, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? They seem to know some things, that there's an appointed time when all demons and fallen angels will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the age. Okay? So he proceeds from the hand to the feet and over to the eyes. He's repeating, cut it off, pluck it out, whatever it takes. Do not let it lead you to hell. Do not let your body yield itself to demon influence to do wickedness. Because if you do, you're going to go to hell. That's what he tells them. He hasn't changed his view on that. He's the same God as the Old Testament. People forget that. They think Jesus, the Old Testament, went on vacation. God did. He said, I am the Lord Jehovah who changes not. And Hebrews says, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to be the final judge in all things. He's going to join him. When he ascended back to heaven, he took on his full divine nature. He's one with the Father. He's one with the Holy Spirit. He's God. So he ought to know what he was talking about. He made this creation, okay? So when we say cut it off or do what's necessary, it means put the members, make them powerless, make them useless for sin. So we keep the old man from rising. We don't yield to temptation. I had a dream many years ago, and it enlightened me. And I was walking by a hill, a small hill, and I didn't know what was in it. And as I walked by, a hand reached out and grabbed me by my feet and tried to pull me into the dirt. And I struggled and kicked loose. And when I woke up, the spirit spoke to my spirit. And he said, that's the old man. You have to keep him dead. See, he can be resurrected anytime. He's not annihilated. So when we say put to death the work, it means make it powerless. But his potential's there. God talks about destroying the wicked in hell. He don't mean annihilating them. He means to break their power. So there is no annihilation. Humans were made, similar to angels, we were made in the image of God. We are an eternal being, and we will stay eternal in heaven or in hell. It will not end. And so people need to wise up. This life here is very short, but a vapor. Even if you live to be 80, 90, what is it to eternity? We're going to live somewhere forever. And we need to understand that. People would take it more seriously, their walk with the Lord. Okay. Three times he says, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That means it's not put out. There is an eternal state, everlasting, of torment for the wicked sinner and fallen angels. The worm is the spirit soul of man. When we die physically, the spirit soul goes on. It's not annihilated. The body corrodes and breaks down to the dust and minerals as what it was made from. God took the dust of the earth, the minerals, and he formed man. And when man dies, since the sin came into being, he eventually goes back to that form. That is not taken in. Blood and flesh will not enter the kingdom. It has to be altered somehow. But so when we bury people, it's that they will go become a part of the earth again. That's the natural body, how things work, okay? The worm, the spirit soul, after the body has died. So we call it death when a person's spirit soul, their personality, separates from their body. They're dead. In this world, we have no natural concept of where they go. They're in a spirit realm. But the body starts to corrode and goes through corruption. And the second death is the lake of fire. It's going to, hell fire is going into the lake. And it means separation from God. They will be separated eternally and they will be tormented by God's holiness and justice against sin. They're still sinners, and they must be consistently punished by God's wrath. See, people don't, they humanize God too much. He took on the human nature, but he's still God, and his ways are different than ours. And so the second death is the lake of fire, and it is eternal. We've said many times, it's going to go on. It's an eternal present for people. They're not going to have a clock, the same in heaven. There's going to be no calendars or clocks or watches because you're going to be in eternal present. You're not going to be much aware of the past or the future. You'll live in the full presence of God. And if you're in the lake of fire, you will be punished by the unquenchable fire forever. So we need to understand that. Most ministers and teachers, they don't want to teach that because they are cowards and they're false shepherds. Oh, I know some denominations, they think they're being spiritual. Once a year, they have to give a hard sermon. You give a hard sermon, all the whole word of God all the time. And in the dark age we live in, we need to be warning people about judgment and hellfire because most people are going there. So you would think, and many are going to fall away from true Christianity. Paul said, they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He's talking about people who once knew the Lord. So there's going to be a dark falling away before the Antichrist takes over the world. It has to prepare him. So the more Christians that fall away, the less salt and power and less restraining force. The kingdom of God is in the Christian here on earth. It's not anywhere else. And when it gets weaker and weaker, and there's no righteousness, as happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, God couldn't find 10 righteous people, and he destroyed it. He took Lot out. He destroyed it. If there had been 10, he would have spared the area for months or years more. So we are a restraining force to Christian. We are the salt of the earth. We keep sometimes God's wrath from being exposed. We act as intercessors, and God considers that. But when a place becomes wicked and there's no righteous, finally God has to bring forth his judgment. His long-suffering and grace comes to an end. We didn't see that. So when a person dies and he separates his spirit soul, then his body rots here on the earth. It's called death. And the second death is being cast into the lake of fire. It's the spirit soul, the personality, being separated from God. He has no fellowship with them. There is no more love or mercy or grace. There's wrath and indignation against the sinner then. Even in Psalms, people don't like reading it. He ain't changed. God says, my soul hates the violent person. And I will heap fire and brimstone and a burning wind on them. That sounds like hell, doesn't it? When he destroyed the earth with the flood, what he said was several times, the earth has become violent from their youth up. And he destroyed them. He hates the violence. It got to be too extreme. And that's why he wiped them out. Well, he'll do the same eventually to all mankind that does not submit to the Lord and follow him. They have no protection. We need to understand that. The second death, like we say, is hell. Then it's the lake of fire. It's as if hell may be a temporal punishment. It's not purgatory because there is no purgatory. See, that's a false doctrine that people, Christians, will be punished for that. They're punished here on earth and forgiven, or they don't make it to heaven. They're not punished in the afterworld. There is no second chance, okay? We need to understand that. So the separation from the wicked is called the second death. It's an eternal punishment. Angels and humans were made in God's image, basically. They are spiritual beings. They never die because they're made in God's image. He's eternal. He's an everlasting being, okay? So hell and death at the end of the ages, it says, will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the final abode of all mankind and wicked angels, if they're wicked. It's called outer darkness, as far away from God in relationship as it can be. There's no light there. God is the light. So he's saying in relationship, the people in outer darkness have no concept or relationship with God, and he doesn't look at them with justice, grace, and mercy alone. He looks at them with vengeance, wrath, and justice. He said he's a consuming fire. That means not to purify him. The fire for the Christian is to purify us and make us holier. Fire for the wicked is to destroy their nature and to keep punishing their wickedness because they're not forgiven. And he looks on that with contempt, it says, anger, disregard. There is no pity or grace for people in hell. Jesus does not weep over them. The holiness of God prevails. So there's the grace of God, the love of God. And he revealed that to Moses. He said, I'm loving kindness and gracious and compassionate. And then at the end, he said, but by no means clearing the guilty. He can't do away with justice. If justice is not satisfied by Christ's blood and sacrifice, it must prevail. And it will eternally, okay? So those in the lake of fire will know this torment of a consuming fire. That's anger, wrath, contempt, and punishment for sins. And remember, the sinner is there. He's still sinning. His sins are not forgiven. His nature is still corrupt. And therefore, the eternal wrath upon him. There can be no other answer for these people. There are no second chances, okay? The worm never dies. The human spirit lives on in the fire of judgment and torment, and it's never stopping. See, people don't like to hear that. They like to, oh, I only want a positive word. Well, you'll end up in hell fire eventually because if you don't take correction, the word of God, two-thirds of it corrects us, proves us, instructs us into way. It's considered the negative sign. But if you don't have it, you're not making it into the kingdom of God. It keeps us straight. It says it instructs us into righteousness, how to live righteously. So you got all these people claiming the righteousness of Christ, and they live like sinners. Peter says, and then we got them around now. They promise you liberty. Once saved, always saved. They promise you God's grace takes care of it all. And he said, yet they are under slaves to sin. They're corrupt. That's what Peter called them. They're false teachers. So if you're free, you should be having power over sin. You should live a holy life. If not, your Christianity is in question, or you lost it a long time ago. Okay? The smoke of their torment will ascend before the Lamb and his angels forever. In Revelations, those who take the mark of the beast and all wicked, when they're cast into the lake of fire, it said the smoke. It's believed that the lake of fire may be outside of New Jerusalem. Yeah, that may be the place. Outside the walls of New Jerusalem. And it said the smoke of their torment. It's letting you know. Evidently, the resurrected damned people, their spiritual body gives off smoke when it burns, but it's not consumed. It's like the burning bush in the wilderness. Moses saw the fire consumed, but the bush was not altered. Well, that's going to happen to the wicked. And it said their smoke will ascend before the Lamb, that's Christ, and his angels forever. It's a memorial to God's holiness. But you notice they're looking at the smoke. They're not looking at the people in the lake. There is no grace, no compassion. They're not interested. They show no pity. They look at the smoke because that torment proves God's holiness is a memorial that he always hates sin and he'll always deal with it in holiness. That's what the memorial is. And the Lord's going to see it forever. And the angels will be able to see that smoke outside the city. So we need to remember that. Again, Peter warned. He said, it's better not to have known the Lord than to depart from him. Backsliders that really knew the Lord, they go into a deeper hell than a normal sinner because God extended more grace. And then they crucified Christ again. They despised his spirit. They tasted of the world powers to come. They were born again and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he said, and they fall away. There's no repentance for them if they go too far. So he warns them. Peter said, then it's better that you never got saved if you turn away from him. Well, we know many people, well, I do in the past, after 60 years, that come to the Lord, they backslide, and they come back later. God opens the door and offers repentance under the old covenant and the new. But there's limits to his grace and mercy. So many people come back to the Lord, and that's what God desires, if they've not gone too far and tasted the powers of the devil and rejected the Holy Spirit. So they insult the Holy Spirit. Well, you cannot be saved and you cannot come back to the Lord and you cannot repent properly if the Holy Spirit don't help you. So when God was speaking to the Galatians and the Corinthians, he said, you left, some of them, they left and went back to the law. And he said they needed to be born again. People don't like that. Yeah. He said Christ needs to be formed in you again because you started spiritually. You were born again. And then you went back and you cannot be justified by the law. You trampled Christ to do it. And he said that word, perhaps God will give you the gift of repentance again. Well, if you look at the statement, it means perhaps he won't. He can be gracious to whom he will, and he can harden. So those who turn from the Lord, they're in a dangerous position. They're not guaranteed that God's going to hear them, especially the deeper they went with the Lord. There's consequences. More grace is given, more punishment follows. Accountability, responsibility. So we need to understand that. God's no respecter of persons. And if he gives more grace, he demands that person to yield to it. And if they don't, they will be punished more by God's justice. He's fair in all of his dealings. He's no respecter a person. Okay, so Jesus spoke at least six times in the Gospel of Mark, we're reading, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the people must have spiritual eyes and teeth and hands and feet. The rich man, he was bound hand and foot. People say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, he wanted a drop of cool water from Lazarus, and he couldn't get it. See, he would have, if he had his hands and was standing, he would have asked for a bucket of water and drank it. He couldn't use his hands. He said, I can open my mouth and you just put one cool drop, because he was bound. And it said, and I'm tormented in this flame. So whatever kind of fire it was, whether it's literal human fire, we know if a person's burning, they don't carry on a conversation. They're screaming and yelling in pain. Well, he carried on a conversation, but he still said, I'm tormented. He understood that. And that was 3,000 years ago or more, most likely. He was a Jew. See? He said, he told Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brothers and warn them not to come to this place. He still had affection for his family. And he knew how they lived like he did. So go warn them. And Abraham said, well, no, they have the law and the prophets. They were Jews. And he said, but they won't listen. And he said, then they won't listen even though one raised from the dead. The Pharisees and the scribes and the priest, they had the law. They understood some of it and they perverted it. But because they didn't keep the law properly, they could not see Jesus when he came. It was hidden from them. God hid it from them, because they wouldn't repent and get right. The common people repented at John the Baptist's preaching, and they easily recognized Jesus when he came along. But Jesus thanked God and said, I thank you, Father. You have hid these spiritual things from the brilliant, the wise of the world. That was the Pharisees and scribes. They considered themselves scholars. He said, but you revealed it to the simple. See, their sin. God is not out trying to prove things to people. If they sin and will not repent and resist the Holy Spirit, he'll send them lion spirits. See, they don't know God. These people have a human sentimentality. They don't know what God says about himself. So we need to understand that, okay? Let's go to John 3. I go there a lot, but you'll always be reminded. Peter wrote the whole epistle to remind Christians to live right. Let's go ahead and take a break right now.